May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 672. 672. Jesus, I long for thee, and sigh for Canaan's shore, thy lovely face to see, and all my warfare o'er. Here billows break upon my breast, and brooding sorrows steal my rest. Hymn 672.
Let us read together for our instruction from the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119, and we will commence to read at verse 17. Psalm 119, reading from verse 17 to the end of verse 64. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counsellors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou hearest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer the hymn that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, for ever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. The Lord bless that portion of his holy word to us and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, as we are brought together to worship, may our worship be in spirit and in truth. We often come feeling our emptiness and our poverty. If thou hast emptied us, then, Lord, it may be for our good, because then may it be in thy good mercy to fill us with those heavenly things, those spiritual realities, those blessed truths, to fill our minds with thy word, for it is a quickening word. It is a word wherein there is the unfolding of thy work, thy providences, and all thy purposes. Purposes in grace, and purposes as they may respect all our lifelong here, and also eternity itself. But now, Lord, as we are brought together, may there be a uniting in our desires. O Lord, one has said that all our askings meet in this. We ask thy presence, Lord. And Lord, it is that presence. If we have it not, then what is our gathering together? It is as though the body is without the head, and that will be of little good to the body if the head is not present. But, O Lord, we do believe that thy promise is a faithful one, and that thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And Lord, it is therefore that we plead. We trust that are gathered together some exercised souls that seek thee and long for thy appearance, who in singing our opening hymn may have felt it to be their very prayer, and could say amen at the end of it. Lord, if that is the case, wilt thou pass us by, as though thou knowest us not? Oh, come thou. Lord, one when asked the spells concerning her beloved, she said that he had gone down into the garden. Oh, Lord, to see those are precious, tender blades that may evidence that there is life, and then evidence that there is growth, and then evidence that there is fruit. O Lord, we pray that this may be the case with those that gather here, and that they don't just come and go, but that they come with a desire and longing, and do not return without some consolation. We pray that thou wilt grant, Lord, thy help therefore in speaking, for what is thy the earthen vessel? Lord, may that treasure be found in us, so that in speaking the excellency of the power may not be of us or of one that speaks this day, but of thee. O Lord, how dependent we are. Make us more dependent, we would ask in one sense. And yet, Lord, we do desire that we, from thy gracious hand, may receive that which we may deliver in the manner of ministry and preaching. O Lord, fill therefore the poor earthen vessel, that there may be a pouring out. We do pray that thou wilt grant that each ear may be touched, that there should be a hearing ear and a heart to receive the word. And only thou canst make that so. We pray for the young, that they may have their ears opened, and that as the servants of old, who love their masters and wish to remain and abide with them, so their ears were bore to the doorposts. And Lord, in that spiritual way, may the young and rising race find that they cannot do what their carnal heart would want to do, but there is that which holds them fast to listen to the things of God and to the testimony of thy grace. Oh, that they may therefore find there is that desire to be found amongst thy people, and to say with one, with them numbered may I be now and through eternity. Lord, we do pray that they may be kept. There are many snares that are laid for the feet, many distractions to turn them aside, many things, Lord, that they may desire to touch, but may they flee from youthful lusts and all that may defile. Give them wisdom. May they, Lord, be granted that discernment to discern what is good and what is not. We would pray, Lord, for those that are bear the responsibilities of life, and also in all its varying aspects, whether in family life, in business life, or with regard to thine house, those that bear the responsibilities and seek to do for the good of thine house, that they may be blessed in their deeds, and also that they may find their love increases to thine house, not as the building, but as the people, and to be drawn one to another. O Lord, we pray then that thou would also grant wisdom to parents in the bringing up of their children. We would pray that thou would grant thy blessing upon the mothers and fathers in Israel. Some, Lord, that may be now in their latter days, yet still able to beseech thee at the throne of grace concerning their own need and also the needs of others. We would pray, Lord, that thou would grant that those that are increasing in age may find that the prospect of what may be before them, it may be a heavy concern, whether they are found amongst the people of God. We trust, Lord, that this exercise may ever be with thy dear people, and yet also that they have that sweet anticipation if they then come to the Jordan of death and have a little sight of what is before them, even the city of glory. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt therefore prepare each for the days as they begin, as it were, to shorten. But Lord, we know that we are in thy hands, and that thou dost perform thy work, and it is when the work of grace is done, then we will have no more reason to remain here. But now, Lord, we do pray that there was grant thy blessing upon thy servants as they labour here and there. Sent forth, we trust, with the word that has been impressed upon their minds, that the word may have free course and bring honour to thy holy name. We would desire, Lord, also, that there would send forth more labourers into the vineyard. The need is great. Those, Lord, that have handled and tasted of the word of life, we also do pray that there may be a gracious increase seen amongst the churches. O Lord, many are brought very low. We wonder indeed what the future holds, but we are thankful that there hast these things in thy hand. Lord, may it be that we see a turning again. It seems, as we look on, almost impossible. But as thou didst say in thy word, that which is impossible with man is possible with God. Lord, that was in reply to the words of the disciples. Then how can man be saved? Well, we know, Lord, it's thy sovereign work. But oh, may there be those brought, those that may come, desiring to be found in the ways of those that have gone before, the faithful line of witnesses. So may they find there is that hearty wish that as they run the race, so As the fathers ran the race, so may they run in it, looking to the same source, even Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, of their faith, and of the faith of those that have gone before. Now, Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant that help, we ask it once more, leave us not, lest we, Lord, should become a castaway. We pray for our sinful land. We mourn the solemn state and situation of those things that have taken place and are taking place, the undermining of truth, and the casting of it away, the denial, the immorality, the evil intents, even the violence in certain places. Lord, where will the scene end? But Lord, again, all things are in thy control. We pray concerning those issues in the world, the wars that are taking place, and where many lives are at jeopardy and have even been taken, those that are left in sorrowing, perhaps many that may be called innocent as far as the situation is concerned. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet appear. O Lord, indeed we live in such a world that seeks its own way, and that is seen in individuals, in society, and amongst nations. Now pardon us, we pray, of our every sin. Arise for our help, as we ask these things in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Hymn 533. How condescending and how wise is the eternal God. On wings of love from heaven he flies, the church to buy with blood. Hymn 533.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to Psalm 119 and a reading verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Psalm 119 and the 49th verse. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This psalm in many ways is unique to the scripture, partly because of its length, the way it is set forth in the fact that every section takes a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the 22 sections are therefore according to that alphabet, unlike ours of 26 letters. But these are things that show that there is a completeness in this psalm. We have it set before us in the Revelation concerning the Alpha and the Omega. And again, that is the beginning and the ending of the alphabet, setting forth by that simile, as it were, the very nature of God himself. He is the beginning and the ending. So we may look for a completeness in this psalm. But we may now look at more the nature of this psalm. In many ways it is a meditation of the psalmist. And the meditation is a mixture of considering the sacred truths, those things that do pertain unto God himself and his ways, those things that pertain to the people of God and the church. The very opening words are concerning the Lord's people. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And we are reminded of the Sermon on the Mount that our Lord spoke, and he began with those words, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. But there it seems as though this psalm has the divine approval when our Lord uses the similar terms. And though the psalmist may not continue beyond the second verse with this word, blessed, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart, yet it sets a tone to the whole meditation of the psalmist. But then we find that in many verses the meditation is turned into prayer. And when we are before the Lord and brought into that attitude of sitting, as it were, at his feet, like Mary did, we may mention others, legion, who out of whom have been cast the legion of devils, now sitting at the Lord's feet, clothed and in his right mind, doubtless the very attitude of prayer was found in their heart. And we have much to ask of him, as well as much to thank him, and much that we need to bring before him, because we have many adversaries. And the psalmist speaks of those that did militate against him. but also his own condition. Times when he felt that he was at that breaking point, felt that he was, his soul cleaved to the earth, and how he needed the quickening power of the Word. Well, that then becomes another consideration with regard to this psalm. The psalmist settles upon the Word and speaks of it time and time again. And you doubtless have noticed it's in our text. Remember the Word unto thy servant. Why should it be so uppermost in the meditation of the psalmist? Why should it be the uppermost in your mind, in my mind, when we come to think upon the spiritual matters? Well, first of all, the Word it is the Word of God. And God is that Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Let us ever remember that, dear friends. When we come to the Word of God, then it speaks of God. And the very Word itself carries the very essence of what God is. To have a little understanding of what God is, you may say, it's going to fall very far short. It must do, dear friends. God is in the heavens. You and I are upon the earth. And therefore, when we come before him, we must concede the advice of the preacher who said, let thy words be few. And oh, you may say, but this is a long psalm. Yes, it is a long psalm. But when you've read it, then how long did it take to read it? Does it take above 10 minutes? Probably less than that. And yet those words carry weight because they are indicted by the Spirit who is in the Word. And if we know the indictings of the Spirit, that is the difference between what we may term as formal prayer and the prayer of faith. Faith in the heart will have the quickener that quickens us not only to life, eternal life, but quickens us in our desires and aspirations and longings and pleadings and desires. And if therefore the gracious Spirit in the Word is found in our hearts, then we will not pray in vain. You may feel sometimes like the man of old, I cry and shout, and all my cry he shutteth out. Ah, that's a living experience, you know, friend. Because the Lord will not have us to glory in ourselves. You cannot glory in those prayers and petitions and say, well, now, the Lord will answer me on the ground that I've prayed so well. Oh, he will answer you upon the ground of his own dear and blessed name. It is for his name's sake. Not for your sakes, O house of Israel, do I these things, but for my holy name's sake. Remember that. Therefore, dear friends, when we come before the Lord. It is a great mercy if we are filled with that word, which we may then speak out of the fullness of those things that we have known and felt and handled of the word of life. Well, now we find that the psalmist here says, remember the word unto thy servant. And I want to speak a little first of all of the experiences of the Lord's people, and then why their desire should be, as the psalmist here, in asking that God would remember his word, his word to his servant. Well, now, in the first place, then, the experiences of the Lord's people. We find that we pass through many troublous situations. The experience of the Lord's people is often filled with trials of one sort or another. Indeed, you may remember Bunyan's pilgrim hearing the shepherd's boy there in the Valley of Humility, who sang a song something like this: as soon as one trouble is o'er, another doth him seize. And how that is true of the Lord's people. It may not be what I'm going to call natural troubles. You may have a natural trouble. It may be that you are experiencing some kind of sickness or illness. If the Lord sanctifies for the good of your soul that sickness, then it will be profitable. But you may find that these troubles that come into your life, you may have problems in business. You may have difficulties at home. You may have troubles with your neighbours. Well, we could go a long list, couldn't we, of all the troubles that are common to man. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And they are the troubles that the Lord's people do come into. But there is something else. There's something else. Often when the Lord brings such a trouble to us, it turns, or we have to turn and look within. It's easy to blame others, isn't it? We're apt to do that, but that will be a trouble to you. The fact that you can blame others when the fault lies deep within. It lies in the soul. The soul which has been occupied by the carnal mind and attitude which possesses us. And this has become such a burden to the living soul. It's not a burden to the worldling. The worldling will always be able to make excuses for its particular situation and case and for its attitudes toward those things. But the child of God is brought to realize, oh, it's my own vile heart. And here, this trouble that has come, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Is there not that which will bring us to know that deliverance, that the deliverances that are with the Lord excel all other deliverances which may seem to come easily. When I say that, let me just explain. A man may think he can get himself out of his situation. Again, my mind goes to the Pilgrim's Progress when Christian had set out, his back now towards the city of destruction, seeking to press toward the yon shining light, which he could only discern that, but the gate he could not see as yet. But in pressing forward, two also joined him. And I forget the names of them, or both of them. One I know was Pliable. I think the other was Obstinate. And you see, when they came to the Slough of Despond, what happened to those two fellows that accompanied Christian? They soon climbed out the other side. They soon climbed out the side wherein they fell and made their way back to the city. But Christian could not do that. No, he had to pass through the slough. And you have to pass through those things which may perhaps seem to consume you. Fires, not just sloughs, but fires and waters that are very deep. But, dear friends, there's one thing that you will realize at some stage in that experience, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Here the word itself becomes an all-supporting power, and you may then struggle on, though it may seem sometimes that you are never again the other side, but the Lord's strength is there known, strength known in weakness. It is only those that walk the path of those that fear the Lord that know what weakness is in religion. Professors, they do not have any weakness. Oh, it's easy for them to believe and to go on and to project themselves and all that they believe and to answer the questions and the queries in this and that. But you have to stand trembling before the Lord, that his word may be that word applied to your own heart and soul. And that you may therefore find that the word is not given to you in vain. Well, now you come into these cases, and we may enlarge upon those varying experiences of the Lord's people, fears and of temptations, even torments. These are things. Yet, in the midst of them, there is a cry that goes out of the soul, like unto our text. Remember the word unto thy servant. God cannot forget his own word. As we have already said, he is the word. It's impossible for him to forget, but I do not think that the psalmist was suggesting that there was any forgetfulness with God, but rather it was said in this particular sense, that God would acknowledge to the psalmist his word, perhaps bringing it to his remembrance, the psalmist's remembrance. We know this, we are very forgetful. And sometimes you may know that which the Lord has done, it's left its effect, its mark, but there are those things that now you cannot bring to mind. It may be the very word that then brought comfort. You know it brought comfort. The very word that brought direction, you knew it gave direction. The very word that moved your heart as the leaves are moved when the wind blows, and it leaves its mark. It leaves its mark. But now, Lord, remember, remind, acknowledge that word to my soul, that which thou hast given me the grace to rest upon and to hope in. Remember the word unto thy servant. And it is this that may be acknowledged by the psalmist and by yourself, that you know that the word that is of God and has been given to us, that word which he has revealed for his own good pleasure. And we have the word here, the beginning with the Genesis and ending with the Revelation. And there are many, many words there. But you desire that the Lord will fix your heart, your mind, upon it again. The thought came to me by illustration. You know, if you have, should we say, a librarian greatly interested in all the books that he has collected and may allow others to come and read, and there he has a great knowledge of the content of those books. And you perhaps wanting to refresh your mind would go to the library and say to this librarian, can you tell me where I can find the account or the words or the piece concerning this or that? Because you find that with yourself, you cannot record either perhaps whereabouts to look or even to know exactly what book it is in. Now remember the word. You will be saying to the librarian, can you substantiate or acknowledge to me that this word, this account, this thought that I've read about is somewhere found in these books that you have? And being perhaps steeped in a good knowledge, he'll be able to take you to the very book and point out the very page, the very word. Well now, that is the context that I consider this word to mean. When the psalmist says, remember the word unto thy servant, it is to bring the recollection to my own mind as to what it was that there did speak in those at that time, perhaps many years ago. It may though only be perhaps a few hours ago. We have poor memories, don't we? But let the Lord seal it home upon your own soul. Remember the word unto thy servant. And perhaps we may also therefore add, having mentioned about the sealing, that is now what you want. You want the confirmation of it. And that the reality of it was as you felt in the first place. Well, remember the word unto thy servant. What a mercy it is that the Lord communicates to us by the word. The word. And there are those many words that the Lord speaks through the written word. And there are those things which are sweetly inscribed upon our hearts through the incarnate word, who spake like him. But he speaks those words, and we could repeat many of those words that our Lord spoke, which has often been a help and a comfort to the Lord's people. When you come there, fallen down in all your felt sinfulness and wretchedness, like the woman with the running issue, what a complaint, what a complaint. And yet, to hear the words, daughter, go in peace. Or the words, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. To hear the words, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and light, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, that such words may come with the sweetness and power of him who is the incarnate word himself. Well, remember the word unto thy servant. We may find that there were those disciples, if we were in their company, that may be approaching their leader, the one whom they now looked to, their Lord and Saviour, and to say, Master, remember the word that thou spakest there by the sea, or upon the mount, or wherever it might have been. Remember the word unto thy servant, spoken directly to this disciple, that disciple, perhaps the company of disciples. But there is that which says, I cannot retain those things, but I know he can. Remember the word unto thy servant. Well, it is therefore a very precious and blessed thing that there is this remembrance, which we find in the one who can never forget. Saying that, it brings to mind the sweet encouragement that we have throughout the Word of God, that the Lord, he does not forget any of his people. And he says he will not forget. The hymn writer takes it up that he cannot forget. I will not. I will not. Forget. No. But he remembers all his works. His works. Those works are unadulterated. Your works may indeed be adulterated with many sinful things, but his works are unadulterated. And therefore, when he remembers those works that concern you and me, he sees a purity in it. The work that our Lord and Saviour came to do. He came that he might redeem us from the wretchedness of our sinful state to his own honour and glory. And he came because we were chosen in him before time began. Therefore, everlasting love is poured out upon those that are his from all eternity. He therefore came in the fullness of his love to redeem a poor, needy sinner. And he bore their sin. He bore their sins. You know, when you come to plead as the psalmist did here, remember the word unto thy servant. It may be a painful thing as you stand there, realizing all that your sins are what they are, but then to see that they were laid upon him. And when we say that, we mean the punishment for those sins. He would bear the punishment. And so, the word that he will ever have before him concerning what that brought about, the blotting out of those sins. I blotted out as a thick cloud thy sins, and as a cloud thine iniquities. You can plead that, can't you? Remember the word unto thy servant. Oh, the suffering, the pain, the ignominy, the shame that our Lord and Saviour endured for us when those punishments for our sins were laid upon him. And he endured them. And there in remembrance of those who were requiring the sweet evidence that those sins were laid upon him. Remember the word unto thy servant. But then is set before us the glorious means by which we may be accepted, bought with a price, the precious blood that was shed, the tokens that were therefore mentioned, and the blood of which would be seen, that which is virtually sprinkled upon the very doorposts and lintel of your heart and conscience, to bring you to say, remember the word unto thy servant. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a remembrance there is there. and that he should then work a righteousness, that we may then plead that word according to his righteousness. You see, it is that we have a one whom we can seek unto, that he would remember what that entailed in working out that righteousness. That sacred robe, woven without seam, should be the very righteousness which adorns the church of God. Adorns his son, as may be considered in such terms as Israel or Ephraim. And is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly desire him still. As Ephraim, only worthy to be cast away. But as an Ephraim, who may receive that garment of holiness, of righteousness, then accepted in the Beloved. You may have to plead that word also, that you are found accepted in him. I remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Hope is a very precious thing. It's a gift of God. But it is linked very much with faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. And therefore, when the psalmist says, upon which thou hast caused me to hope, then it needed the power of God for us to rest upon the hope which he has raised in your heart. And how you may find that the old devil and your old nature will try to unsettle you, question the things that the Lord has done. But now you are brought to this. Remember the word of thy son to thy servant. Yes, Lord, thou didst speak that word. Thou didst write it upon my very heart, though it seems as though with all the sins of which I'm guilty, it seems obliterated, and all my mindless, worthless, wretched doings. Lord, here I am, a poor, unworthy wretch, but now remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Hope like an anchor. It's unseen when it takes firm hold, as it were, of good ground. That which holds the ship. But it is proved, isn't it, that the anchor will not lose hold, and the one that holds that will certainly not lose hold of you. We sometimes may feel that we are drifting, but we can never go beyond the limits of his love. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. that hope. Good hope through grace. Not that you have procured it, but it's through the grace of Him who is your hope. Your hope is therefore found in the arm that brings salvation. The arms that are underneath. The arms that are underneath. And those everlasting arms are the things that will hold you through time and bring you into the liberties of that eternity that He has prepared for you. And so, you have a hope of it? You may perhaps sometimes have many fears, but remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Lord, it is in this word. I cannot let it go. And if I cannot let it go because of faith, because of hope, then do I not have that sweet evidence and assurance that there will not let this poor, unworthy soul go? It is He that holds us and keeps us. Where shall we look to into the Word? The words expressed by our Lord in that high priestly prayer. There you may find your hope. Take its hold, because it is a word of certainty. Nothing that the Lord spoke was in vain or useless or powerless. When He was speaking unto His Father, then what He asked would be regarded and would indeed come to pass. So what does He say? And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that they should take them, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That word sanctified means separated. He was the holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We're sinners, but He separates us through His sovereign work of grace, that we may come to detest and hate the very self, ourselves, that we may then seek to follow and to go out after Him. In your own self you love the world, but do you find there is that in your heart, your soul, should I say, in your soul, that would be desire to be freed from it, from the world and all its ways and evils? Oh, that you might know therefore the power of the word that separates you unto Himself. and remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The Lord, he that inspires our hearts unto himself. And it's a work of inspiration, isn't it? You would never desire those things of yourself, but now you find there is a seeking within, a striving. You meet with much opposition. It's a warfare. The old nature struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace, Satan aiding and abetting it, as it were. And oft times seems to gain the field when Jesus hides his face. But at such a time, these words drawn out of your soul, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school this afternoon will be at Greenside Close, except David Curley's class. And Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Michael Ridout is expected to preach and to address the Sunday school. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year services on Wednesday. And Mr. Mark Seymour is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 318. Hymn 318. God of eternal love, how fickle are our ways, and yet how oft did Israel prove thy constancy and grace. Hymn 318.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.